everybody. You're a fine looking group. If you would, let's take our Bibles and turn, please, to the book of Galatians, right before Ephesians, and let's see, it's right after Romans. Galatians chapter 2, a portion of it, and chapter 3. Now, these verses are not strangers to us whatsoever, but I want to carefully read. Let me see how long chapter 3 is. Wow, that's a long ways. We'll get to a stopping point somewhere in the middle of the third chapter, but let me begin our reading at verse 15 of chapter 2. These are some amazing words indeed. To be able to spiritually understand what these two chapters are about is absolutely the only way for us to know who Christ really is. We must find out who we are in order to find out who He is. And we don't go to the doctor to find out how we are. We go to this book. And that's what these blessed words are about to say. Now let us beg the Lord's help. Lord God of heaven and earth, our Maker, our Redeemer, our Savior, our sacrifice, our righteousness, our holiness, whatever you demand of us, you yourself become that to us, or we shall never have it. Our heart is in awful shape. It sins without even knowing it. And it sins a great deal more when we do know it. But in this new man, in Christ Jesus, we are what we are by the grace of God. Lord, we need your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. We beg that you would bless our time together today, and especially in the reading of the verses that are now before us. We ask you to enlighten our minds and our hearts and cause us to see and understand and confess that in ourselves we are completely undone. We're ungodly, unholy, unrighteous. All this, it goes on and on and on. But Lord, if you'd see fit to presence yourself in this little place, oh, what a difference it would be. What a difference. We beg your mercy for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, chapter 2, verse 15. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. Now, you won't be offended at that, will you? Because we're going to find out some things that'll change our view of it. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, then how are we justified? By the faith of, not in, of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Now, how on earth is Paul going to accomplish that? And here's the answer in the very next verse. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet, not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. And today's professing Christianity is about 99% telling you that what you do merits for you God's attention and God's mercy and God's grace and God's blessings. And I don't care what kind of business you go in, everybody wants to bless you about something. And I want to just stop and get up on a tall stand and say, you don't do anything to give me any kind of grace whatsoever to be blessed in God's sight. If I'm blessed at all, it is in Christ. And if I ain't in Christ, I'm not eligible for this grace and this blessing. It never ceases to get under my skin. So far, I've been able to maintain what little sanity I have left, and I don't comment. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, if we could gain God's favor by anything that we can do, any amount of money we can give or anything along that line, then Christ died in vain. For nothing. For nothing. Well, I just think I'm better than some other people I know. Yeah, that's because you don't know God. I'm telling you. The man that's writing this letter is named the Apostle Paul. Now, buddy, he was a high muckety-muck until Christ conquered him on the road to Damascus. And he would have told you in no uncertain terms when he was crusading as a Pharisee that he's better than you. And if you don't adopt his religion and his rituals and requirements and everything under the sun, there ain't no hope for you. And then he found out it was just all a pack of lies. What he thought was true was not true. Who he thought God was is not who God is. Mercy, mercy, mercy. All right, let's continue. Chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now the province of Galatia has several churches that Paul and others like him had planted not long before the writing of this letter. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And if we say it's by the law, we're lost as a turkey. We just There ain't no hope for you unless God brings us out of that darkness. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by the works of the law? That means God owed me His Spirit. Oh, my soul. We're a million miles from the truth or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Am I so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now these things are separate categories, opposite of each other in several ways through those short few verses. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted or imputed to Abraham for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you, Abraham in Christ, in you shall all nations be blessed, including the one in which we live. But that blessing seems to be waning, and the curses seem to be growing. Everybody and his brother refused to believe that they have to do something for God in order for God to do something for them. And if we had a lick of sense, we could read in this book how many times it's called free grace, that if you could pay $1 million for it, God would scoff at it. My soul, he doesn't need us. We need him. Verse 9, so then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful or believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law. Nobody ever has been or ever will be except the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man. No man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just, the righteous, shall live by faith. And that's like saying the righteous shall live by Christ and Him crucified. And the law, call it whatever you will, it's not of faith. The law is not of faith. The man that does them claims to keep the law, and there ain't no way we can keep it. Any honest person would know that right on the surface of things. The man that does them shall live in them. Well, what kind of life is this that he is said to live? It is a life of growing ripe for damnation, because he ain't going to see God in this state. Just not going to happen. Not going to happen. Okay, I promise you I'd stop reading at that point. Now let me see if I can make some time up. If you'd listen, I don't know how fast I can talk, but if you would listen faster, as fast as I speak, whatever it is, I'd appreciate that. Going back to chapter 2, verse 20. I live, Paul says in that verse, by the faith of the Son of God. Now we have that of. It's not in faith. It is the faith of Christ. Before we can have faith, our Lord Jesus must have it and give it as his gift to us. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What a glorious statement. All of Paul's life is in Christ, from Christ, and by Christ. Therefore, for us, in our dealings with God, it is Christ from start to finish. There's nothing that God will have to do with us that does not come through his Son. He's kind of jealous of that Son. He's the only begotten Son, the only one. All of Paul's enjoyment of this life is said to be by the faith of the Son of God. I think I was going to tell you this, but that expression, the faith of Christ, is three times in Hebrews chapter, in Galatians chapter 2, and one time in chapter 3, and a couple of other books that I do not remember off the top of my head that have it as well, but I think only one mention each. But this is significant. This is tremendous. All of Paul's enjoyment is by the faith of the Son of God. All is in Christ, and Christ himself is our all. Faith is not an act of the child of God any more than the life in Christ is, which gives birth to that faith. Let me read that again. Faith is not an act of a child of God any more than the life in Christ, which gives birth to that faith, is. This life that is in Christ is not an act of ours. We have no capacity to make him better or worse than he is, knowing that he's absolute perfection, no matter what part of his person, of his actions, of his words, of his deeds, no matter what you're talking about. He can't do anything except it be perfect. This of the Son of God is not in, though there are ample places in our Bibles where it speaks of faith in Christ. In these chapters here, do the very same thing. But what I'm trying to tell you is that there is a difference I've got my mind mixed up, y'all. The faith of the Son of God and our faith in the Son of God. There's a world of difference in those two things. Somebody said that faith is Christ's act upon his people. The life of faith is first a life of receiving, incomings before outgoings. You can't breathe out what you don't breathe in. And if some of you have problems with breathing, you know far better than we what that's about. But I know this, if I get a new bottle of insulin out of the refrigerator and I put a needle in there without putting air in it, when I put that needle in there, it ain't nothing going to come out. It's vacuum sealed. And you must put air in to get insulin out. And that is precisely the way this is being stated before us. Incomings before outgoings. We can't talk right. We can't do anything right until God performs a miracle of his grace in our heart. All right, returning to Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. This is Paul's statement. When he speaks of this crucifixion, he speaks of the death that inhabits every human being who has ever seen the light of day in this universe in which we live. Let me read you a statement out of Hebrews. You need not turn. If I can rethink to do it, I'll give you the reference when I read it, but I can't wait for you to find it. And as I may so say, it's the same person that writes Galatians, Levi also, who received tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, you can find Melchizedek talked about in one of the chapters in Hebrews, as well as, I forget the particular book in the Old Testament, but it is this person of whom our Lord Jesus is said to be at least at peace with, telling us that our own selves, before we're born into this world, we come bringing some things with us when we're born. And this is certainly regarding that Abraham paid tithes, and therefore his son paid tithes in him, totally unaware, and perhaps did not learn of until he reached some point of age. So the spiritual seed of Christ, received from him by his grace and mercy, all that we need. Everything we need now, and everything we need when we die. If we are in him, everything is hunky-dory, as we would say. Nevertheless, I live. A union with Christ is the only and entire cause of all. Now, we're not talking about natural, human, physical life. We're talking about spiritual life, being alive to God. Hey, I didn't give you those references, so I'll go back and get them. Hebrews 7, 9, and 10. And now I'm going to John for just a moment to read you a statement. It is the Spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. If our Lord says to a person who's already, shucks, Lazarus was already in the grave, his sister says, Lord, by now he stinks. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he came out of that grave. And I'm telling you, if he did it then, he can do it now. But we ain't looking for miracles to support our faith. We're trusting God that whatever he does is exactly what we want, whether we like it or not. It is God's prerogative. It is our Savior's inalienable rights that he does as he pleases. And everything in this world takes place, no matter what day it is, where it is, how violent it is, how many people were killed, or how good it is. God rules all things. All the time. And never makes a mistake. Not a one. Oh, I think God missed it here. Oh, my soul, don't let us put those words on our lips. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, by the way, that was Romans. Let me see. John 6:63. And now for Romans. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, capital S, is life because of righteousness. God demands righteousness. And we're as incapable of providing it as a man in the moon. Nothing in our flesh is made holy. Not now and not then. Nothing in the spiritual nature of a poor sinner saved by grace is left unholy. Therefore, it leaves him holy. But he doesn't go around with a sign, you know, on his back. Look at me, I'm holy. If you are, prove it to me by some other things. Let's don't talk about just walking down the road or taking a cross on your shoulder. And that ain't the cross. The cross is a person. His name is the Lord Jesus. He died on that cross. But that didn't change the character of the wood upon which he was nailed. Paul says now in Galatians 2:20, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Christ actually lives in his people. Well, how can he be at two places at one time? Well, in John chapter 3, when he was talking to Nicodemus, he spoke of himself as being in heaven and being right there on that ground in front of him. I'll just find that and read it to you because I got me some questionable looks that time. I'm just kidding you, but I want to make it plain enough. And I don't want to hide it from you. John chapter 3. Verse 13. John 3:13. And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Now, if that ain't in two places at once, I don't know what is. You and I can't do that. Try as we might. Stretch ourselves, well, I can't say skinny, but, you know, as far as you can, you can't be in but one place at one time. Christ lives in me. Christ's interest in us is first, and our interest with Him, hallelujah, is second. One is the cause, the other the effect. You don't have any trouble sorting that one out, do you? The cause is the sovereign grace and power of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the effect is upon those people whom He calls to Himself and gives mercy and grace to embrace Him as their Redeemer. Let me read you another one. I won't talk about my brain. My wife gets upset. I probably won't even get any lunch if I do. So I'm not particularly fond of that either. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. 1 John 4, verse 19. Now, I got that verse up here, but I'm afraid it was going to take the wings, you know, and I can't rely on that anymore. So I have to see him on a sheet of paper. Let me give you another scripture or two in regard to that same subject. This comes from 1 Corinthians. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God, no human being speaking by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now you know, I know, any human being that can talk can say that Jesus is Lord. But it doesn't do anything for you. It has to be words that are spoken by the Holy Spirit. No man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:3, and there's yet another one to go in John chapter 9. And some of you look like you're getting sleepy, so how about turning to John's Gospel, chapter 9. Verses 35, 36, 37, and 38. All right, are you ready? Jesus heard that they had cast him out, this man that was born blind, and our Lord has now healed him. And he made the Jewish Sanhedrin, he made them so mad they could have chewed nails. I mean, he had rebuttal after rebuttal. Jesus heard they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" Now this man is born blind. It's very likely he had no eyeball in either side of his head. And our Lord, in a glorious miracle of his grace, gave him his sight back. Now you would think, I mean, since we've grown up in this country where religion is so polluted, it's a mile off course in every direction, that this man could have such a miracle performed on him and yet be still an unbeliever? Are you kidding me? Nope. I'm telling you the truth. Read it for yourself. Here's what I want you to see. Verse 36. He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord?" Our Lord had said to him, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And our Lord said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you." You can't get it any closer or plainer than that. And the man said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Now that's how we're going to come to Christ. May not be blindness. May be some tragedy. May be some physical ailment. I don't know what it is. But we come if he calls. I'm telling you, if he calls me, I'm coming. Yes, indeed. And Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." All of Paul's life in Christ, from Christ, and by Christ, and all the enjoyment of his life of faith is by the faith of the Son of God. Just a few more words. Curtis, you ran out of time. I got plenty of time. All right. Everything that we need spiritually, everything that we need is in Christ. The whole package is in Him. It's who He is. It's what He did. It's what He said. It's what He suffered. It's because He's risen again and ascended to a throne at God's right hand in glory. And He's simply, let me read it to you. I'm not going to wait for you this time. Even though this new Bible I'm using this morning is hard to get it to turn to the right page. I'll tell you the chapter and verse in a little bit. I will declare the decree. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. The Lord has said unto me, "You are my Son." God the Father is speaking to God the Son, and He tells Him, "You are my Son. This day have I begotten you. Ask of me, and I shall give you the heathen for your inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like potter's vessels. Be wise now, therefore, O you kings." Here the Spirit of God speaks. "Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." And here's a beautiful statement. "Kiss the Son." Kiss Him. Kiss His feet. "Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little." Blessed. You talk about blessed. "Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him." Our trust is not in ourselves. Our trust is in Christ, our precious, precious Redeemer. You'll find those words in the second Psalm. Only 12 verses, so you don't have to read very long to find it. Let me mention just a couple of other things and I'll be finished. May I read you the 20th verse of Galatians chapter 2 one more time, and also verse 21. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God." just between me and you, I don't think we can frustrate the grace of God. We might think we can, but I don't think so. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If we have to bring anything of our own to the table, Christ died in vain. If he's not a complete, perfect, full, absolutely full Savior, he's not worthy of our trust. God help us to see that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, oh my, in him, by him, and through him, we can do all things.